Which contract would you rather have for the rest of the decade? Aaron Judge or Juan Soto? Let's talk about it. Yes, welcome on in to First Pitch, your home for news, notes, and updates on Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Lindsey Crosby. Follow me on Twitter at Crosby Baseball. He's Christian Rowell, First Pitch underscore MLB on the Twitter machine. He runs our socials for us. And Christian, not a lot of signings in the last day or two, but there is a really interesting article that I ran into I want to get your thoughts on. Joel Reuter of Bleacher Report talked about the 10 biggest nightmare contracts by 2027. We've seen these lists this offseason of the worst contracts in baseball. And we know some of these names, right? Chris Bryant, Anthony Rendon, right? Like, we know Patrick Corbin was on there last year. But this was guys who would have at least 4 years guaranteed in 2027 onward, right? So long-term deals here. And one of the names, there's 10 names. We're going to go through all 10. But Aaron Judge is on this list because in 2027, he'll be 35 years old. And after that, he'll have 5 years and $200 million left on this deal. And so he's saying, Joel Reuter is saying, this is going to be a nightmare contract for the Yankees from 2027 on because they'll have 5 years and $200 million left on it. Top, like, just real quick, top of your head, does a guy who's pretty much a shoe-in for 50 homers a year, is there any way that contract can be bad?
In the eyes of what fan, right? Like, are you just becoming a Yankees fan in 2028 and beyond? Because then you're finally seeing, you know, the back end of Judge's career. If so, maybe you might feel that way. But we're talking about a guy, Lindsey, who has in the last three seasons 157 home runs. We're talking about a guy when he broke the home run record 62 in 2022. That was a 10.5 wins above replacement. This year, he had a 10.8 wins above replacement. So it's not, things aren't changing for Aaron Judge. He won the MVP again this season for a reason. It's hard to think about how Aaron Judge's contract can be seen as one of the biggest failures or one of the biggest ones that is just going to suck down the road. Now, is his plate performance and his play going to diminish? I would assume so. Every older player does so. But I think right off the bat, I think you have to just notice that you took a team to the World Series, something that you haven't done in a very long time, just this year. You didn't win it. That's obviously something that's going to have to be, you know, acknowledged. But I don't think you can ever say that Aaron Judge's contract is going to be considered a bad contract unless for the rest of his career, starting right now, he never steps in the batter's box again.
Yeah, I think one of the big things to think about here too is a way a lot of these contracts are structured is you're underpaying on the front end and overpaying on the back end. And you just mentioned like two years of 10 war. The average cost per war in free agency last year was, I think, according to the Fangraphs, it was like $8 million. And so he put up 10 plus war. That was $80+ million in value that Aaron Judge gave you, and he was not making that much. So, yes, he's an outfielder. Yes, he's a huge human being. And there's not much of a track record of guys that size in MLB, and the ones you have aren't great. They start to break down physically. But the fact he was able to play center field last season and honestly put up over 10 war with negative defense in center means you feel comfortable about him going back to right this year. He could always move to first base or DH later in the deal. Feels like it's not going to be that awful. The one that I am wondering about, however, is the Juan Soto deal, because this was obviously 15 years, $765 million. he's making his luxury tax cost in this deal is $51 million a year. It is by far the largest actual cash payment to a player in a single season. And he'll be doing that for obviously 15 years. When 2027 rolls around, you will have only like the 2027 season's only the third year of that. You'll have 12 more years at $51 million apiece. And I know that he'll only be 28 years old in 2027. But for a guy who already doesn't run the bases that well, defensively isn't giving you anything in value already, it feels like, would I rather have 5 years of Aaron Judge or 12 years of Juan Soto? I'd rather probably have the 5 years of Aaron Judge because you're done after 5 years. Whereas Juan Soto, there's so much between now and when the deal ends, similar to Giancarlo Stanton. It looked like a steal when the Yankees got him from the Marlins, but now we've argued that's an albatross for the last few seasons.
Yeah, it's going to be really hard to determine Juan Soto, especially at the back end of his career. But I think you already have that expectation, just like many of these big contracts that we're seeing over the years from some of these superstars, and we're probably going to get one every year. I don't know if we're going to always, you know, reach the pinnacle like the Ohtani and the Soto like we did for 2 years in a row.
But it's Kyle Tucker really might make a bunch of money next offseason. If he goes nuclear in Chicago, yeah, he could make him. I don't think he'll get $765 million, but he's going to have a mega contract next year.
Not wrong. And he's probably going to be the guy that we talk about in this kind of aspect next year without question. But if you're trying to compare him, and for the record, his name was not on this article from Bleacher Report. Yeah. And I do think the reason behind that is not because of the contract in general, but as you mentioned, Lindsay, because in 2027, he's not even going to be 30. He's going to be 28. Still a lot of good baseball, you would assume, from Juan Soto. I think when this version of this article comes out in 3 or 4 years and they're talking about Juan Soto in 2032, I think he would definitely be on that list of bad contracts, if you will. I think the Yankees dodged a bullet. And I know this is a very touchy subject with Yankees fans and obviously Mets fans in this case, because now it's a crosstown rival. But I think overall the Yankees fans dodged a bullet in this one, because although Juan Soto is going to probably make them eat their words for the couple of years while he's with New York, while Cohen's probably building a good team around him, and the Mets are eventually going to be a really good team, and I think are going to be at the top of the NL East for a few years when it's all said and done, maybe not in 2025, but very soon. I think when it's all said and done, the Yankees are going to come out in winners of this trade.
Yeah, and yes, like, it took a couple roster spots, but you added a lot of different pieces at a lot of different positions with the money that would have gone to Juan Soto, right? Max Fried, Paul Goldschmidt. You've got multiple pieces coming in for the same price you would have paid just Juan Soto. And obviously last year showed you Juan Soto by himself was not enough to get you to a World Series championship. He got you there. He didn't get you the championship. But
what do you think about this? They put Max Fried on the list. Now that since we're talking New York Yankees, Max Fried's on the list. Yeah. And you're a Braves fan. Yeah. You cover Braves Today. What do you think about that?
I feel like Max Fried, because he's not reliant on velocity and strikeouts, he should age pretty well. Any pitcher contract is really risky because of injury, right? Like, that's just sure. Pitchers are just so prone to being hurt and missing a full year or year and a half of competition that makes it risky. But I feel comfortable that, like, you know, you're going to have 6 years and $189 million left after 2027, but it'll also only be 33. And he should age pretty well for it, because he's not reliant on throwing 99. He's not having to strike dudes out. He doesn't give up hard contact. He's got good breaking stuff and a bunch of pitches he can throw. Injury's the real reason here. And I think that's a risk really with any pitcher contract. Fried's a guy that goes on the IL a lot, but he doesn't actually miss a bunch of time, with the exception of 2023 when he was on the 60-day IL. Other than that, it's a lot of 15-day stints, 10-day stints, 14-day stints, and he's off. So I don't hate it. I don't think he should be on the list, but I can see why 6 years left of a pitcher in the back half of his 30s would put a guy on this list. Yeah. There's not many other guys who are in that situation in baseball right now. A really tough kind of thing just for me to think about, because I've been such a big fan of his for so long. Mike Trout is on this list, right? He'll be 35 years old in 2027. After that season, he'll have 4 years and $148.5 million left. It absolutely is an injury conversation with him. Do you think the Angels are looking at doing enough to get him, to keep him healthy for a full season? Like, are they going to, like, they traded for Jorge Soler, who's going to be their everyday DH. Are they going to let Trout play some corner outfield to minimize the wear and tear on his legs and things like that? Or is he destined to just be running through center field until he gets hurt every year for the next couple seasons?
Yeah, the biggest thing is they have to get him out of center field, and that has to be the aspect. I know we've talked about that for quite some time on this show, and I think we've talked about it before the show even started, Lindsay, about him getting out of center field. It just needs to happen. And although he's very prideful, and when it's all said and done, even with the injuries, when we go back and we're sitting in our rocking chairs in 30, 40 years, we're going to be talking about how great of a player Mike Trout was. And unfortunately, it's going to come with an asterisk because of all these injuries. And I think it's going to come down to he could have been the greatest player of all time as of right now, not the narrative that we all thought was he is the greatest player of all time. Things are changing in that aspect. And I don't disagree with this one. There's a few on this list that I definitely disagree with, and Judge is one of them, but I don't disagree that this contract is going to be seen as a bad one once post-2027 comes around with those $150 million still left on the books. And I don't know if that's all the blame on Trout, and obviously I'm not saying injuries are to blame for him, but as you mentioned, the Angels haven't done much to surround him. They obviously let Shohei Ohtani walk. They didn't even put a trade for him to bring in some assets. They are finally starting to do some small things this year in the second year of Ron Washington, bringing in some players. Is it enough? Is it enough to build some type of insurance and some protection at the plate for him so he can be even more better at the plate? But regardless of the fact, you have to have him on the field. You can't have him play just 29 games like you saw in 2024 from Trout. And because when you do get him on the field, he's outstanding. In those 29 games, he hit 10 home runs. I mean, he was incredible. But the way to get him to play more baseball is to get him to go in at least the corner outfield spot. And dare I say, it maybe in a year or even 2 years, make him just a DH. He's going to hate it, but you need that production on the field.
I can't think of many 235-pound center fielders. Like, that's just the thing that kind of gets me. That's linebacker size, roaming center
field. It's him and Judge, right? Like, it's just
Him and Judge. And Judge was not good defensively in center field last year. If I remember right from doing a StatCast search when trying to write about Michael Harris, I think Aaron Judge was one of the worst center fielders among guys who were qualified in center field, so got enough innings to count. He was one of the worst defensively. Trout still grades out okay in center field, but he needs to be in right field, right? Or right or left. He needs to be in a corner. And it's just, 2022 was the last time he played somewhat of a full slate. It was 119 games. He finished with 6.2 WAR in 2022 at age 30. He is the active leader in career WAR at 86.2, if I'm reading this right on Baseball Reference. It's in italics and all of that, including four different seasons where he led all of baseball. He's got three MVPs and a Rookie of the Year. It's just that one kind of sucks, because it's not – the injuries aren't necessarily his fault. And I kind of would say I blame the Angels maybe more so than him because of how he's had to be used. He hasn't played anywhere other than center field since 2012 when he was 20 years old. Sorry, 2013, 2020. He was 21 years old. That's the last time he played anywhere other than center field.
Is it safe to say that this might be the worst contract on this list if you're talking about 2027 and beyond? Because if his injuries don't get any better at age 35, they're going to be paying for a guy like Mike Trout that's not even on the field. I could see him, unfortunately, hanging it up in 2027 at age 35 if they don't get these injuries under control. So you could consider this possibly the worst contract on this list.
I'm going to argue the worst contract on this list is Trey Turner. He's on here. He'll be 34 years old in 2027. And after that, he has 7 years and almost $191 million. And for a dude that is so reliant on his legs, like we've seen so much in baseball, those speed and athleticism dominant guys can just lose it at the drop of a hat, right? And when you watch, like, there's nothing glaringly wrong with his game, but he's already started running, like stealing less bases, right? He only took 19 last year. He was a 30 for 30 guy in 2023, right? Took 19 stolen bases last year. He was chasing more. His defense has been getting worse and worse. And so, I mean, he's probably not more than a season or two away from getting moved off of shortstop. And if he makes it to shortstop through 2027, and he's been one of the worst in baseball the last few seasons, if he somehow, like say after 2027, you want to move him, great. Now you've got 7 years of a second baseman. And it's just, to me, that is probably the worst deal on here simply because you're already seeing the signs of decline and we haven't even made it to 2027. Never mind getting past it. Although Xander Bogaerts probably gives him a run for his money.
Do you think Netflix is planning the second version of his standing ovation special in 2027 or?
It's such a hilarious thing that the dude couldn't be bothered to hit until he got to stand an ovation. It's just Philly fans are just they're so incredibly brainwashed.
Troy's one of them. He really thinks that the Phillies are better without Trey Turner, and it looks like some people are starting to agree with him as well. There's gonna be a lot of things in the future to see what happened with Trey Turner, but you're right, if you have to talk about a second baseman in the future and with that contract, there's a lot of things to worry about.
I do think if you wanted to argue Xander Bogaerts' deal was worse, he's already been moved to second base. And I think that's the kind of concerning thing here is they're actually on this list twice. Xander Bogaerts is on there and Manny Machado is on there. So Bogaerts will be 34 years old in 2027. And after that, he's got 7 years and $178 million left, while Machado will be 34 in 2027. And after that, he's got 7 years and $273 million. The issue is you can't move both of these guys to first base, right? It feels like you're going to be in a situation where in 5 years, one's at first base, maybe Machado, and the other guy is at DH. And 7 years of both of them left after 2027, it's hard to argue that these are not really bad deals. I think Bogaerts is probably worse to me, though, because he's already been moved defensively once to second.
No, I agree with you. And I think that the Padres would love to move on from Bogaerts. I think that we've already heard some rumors for that, possibly them trying to move. San Diego's in a really rough spot when it comes to payroll. There's a whole new lawsuit coming in right now as well with the Preller family. And I think it's going to get really messy when it's all said and done.
Sidler family. Preller's the GM.
Excuse me. Thank you for that. I think it's going to get really messy when it's all said and done. But Bogaerts, it's going to be really tough for San Diego to want to keep that contract, but I don't think they're going to have any choice. But the Machado scenario is different, right? In my mind, I do think it's still a bad contract, but San Diego walked themselves into that one because of he was planning on opting out, that he was at least threatening to opt out in 2023. And then they signed that extension. So this is the second part of that contract when he was, initially he came over in the Bryce Harper free agency period, Manny Machado that same year. This is the second part, the second tour, if you will, of him in San Diego. And I think that San Diego really, really messed up by listening and saying, okay, yeah, we're going to go ahead and give you that big extra contract extension to match it up with Xander Bogaerts. They're going to be in a really rough spot for a long time. And I think that I think we've already figured that out when they traded for Juan Soto. They tried to do win now. It didn't work. this year you thought you were going to get something and you traded for Dylan Cease. You tried to make a next step and make it to the postseason and win and get to the World Series. That didn't work either. But when it's all said and done, I think we are going to get to a point, Lindsay, where we are putting them at the bottom of the National League West just because they have really tough contracts to move with some old players. And they're not going to be able to do anything about that. They better hope their farm system steps up with the draft picks they have. If not, they're just going to be sitting around with a bunch of Chris Davises on their team.
Hey, they Jackson Merrill worked out, man. I don't know, some sort of devil magic that they have that they got that to work out as well as it did. I saw MLB.com in their center field rankings put him as a top three center fielder going into 2025. So shout out Jackson Merrill. But yeah, they've got to hit on that kind of thing four or five more times once every season to make up for all these expensive deals on the roster. But speaking of some of these other deals, I do want to, like, we've talked about Judge and Turner and some of these guys and Freed. A couple of guys we haven't spoke about yet that are on this list. Corey Seager is on here. He'll be 33 in 2027. And then after that, he'll have 5 years and $157.5 million. Am I weird to think that, one, you won a World Series, and two, he's such a good hitter and he can move to a less demanding defensive position that this isn't one of the worst contracts in baseball? Like,
yeah,
there's so many options you have here.
Yeah, I'm with you. And Texas is in a good spot right now. What they have, as I mentioned, unlike San Diego, with the exception of Merrill, they have a lot of young players around them. And Texas went ahead and spent $500 million on the middle of their infield to get to the World Series in 2022. And not only did they get there, they won. So I think this one's null and void for me. I'm with you on this one. No matter what happens, if they finish last in the AL West all the way up until 2027 and beyond, it's still a good contract because you got one. And at the end of the day, you can't say that about many other franchises. There's some franchises that have been around for a very long time, Lindsay, and don't have a single one. Texas got this one because of guys like Corey Seager. So no, not a bad contract at all.
You talk about the West, but the other league, Willy Adames is on this list. Just signed this deal with the Giants. He'll be 31 years old in 2027 with 5 years and $155 million. And the argument that Joel Rutter is making here is that he derives his value from his power and his defense, and he's not in a good ballpark for power production. We like to look at the StatCast home runs by ballpark. He would have lost 31 career home runs in by being a member of the Giants his entire career so far. He already has a strikeout rate that's above average. If his power backs up, if his defense backs up, he's just an albatross of a deal. Does this feel like it's one of the worst contracts in baseball, or is this a little bit of there's some worrying signs, but we can't say it's bad just yet? Is this the next Javi Baez?
Well, I don't know if we need to go that far because he's not. I mean, is he swinging at sliders 20 feet outside the box? If so, then maybe we need to have that conversation. But
it's
overall,
like,
I don't think
Javi, that wasn't a pitch. He tossed the ball out of play. Like, what are you doing? He tossed the ball to the dugout to be authenticated. Why are you swinging at that?
Speaking of pitches that went that far outside of the plate, but were for intentional walks when Barry Bonds was doing it back then, Barry Bonds is the last person for San Francisco to hit 30 home runs in a season. That's how long it's been. Willy Adames had 32 this past season for Milwaukee, but you're probably going to see that decline. And it's not because of his play going anywhere. It's just, as you mentioned, the park factor changes. Mm-hmm. So I do think statistically you're going to see his numbers dwindle a little bit. Doesn't mean he's playing bad baseball, but Joel makes a really good point. You know, when his defense and power are the two things you're looking at, when you age, those are things that we've talked about almost every player on this list. Those are the two that go away right away. I think this contract was a little bit inflated, if you will. San Francisco had to land a guy after missing so many free agents over the past couple of years, Lindsay, Aaron Judge, Carlos Correa, all those guys. San Francisco had to land somebody. And they got Willy Adames, the number one shortstop in the free agent market this year. So I do think it was a little high priced in my mind. But I mean, if it gets them back into relevancy and it gets the new ownership group and the new front office group, Buster Posey and the rest of that general managing just, you know, the new front office, if you will, if that gets them in the right spot moving forward, if it gets guys like Matt Chapman taking a step forward, if it helps just the entire team be able to compete in probably the toughest division in baseball, the National League West, then so be it. But overall, I do think you could easily make a solid argument for saying Willy Adames is going to be a bad contract when it's all said and done. I think you can really make that argument for sure.
Yeah, I think a lot of the peripherals on that kind of are trending the wrong direction. And so, like, this is one of those, I think right now it's not a bad contract in the future, but it's trending that way, right? Okay, two left. Do you want to go pitching or continue on the offense theme?
Let's stick with the offense and we'll end with a pitcher. Okay. Huh?
All right, Brian Reynolds is the first guy mentioned on this list. He'll be 32 years old in 2027. He'll have 4 years and $63 million left on the deal. It was 7 years, 100, the biggest contract in the history of the Pirates, which is really kind of a condemnation of what the Pirates have done in the modern era. But I full disclosure, like, don't ask me this question. I'm a hater. I have a clip of that I could play if I had the drop plugged in here. But I didn't think they should have signed this deal in the first place. I've never really been a big fan of Brian Reynolds. His strikeout rate's gone up. His walk rate's been going down. He's already moved from center field to left, and he's gone from a positive defender in center to a negative defender in left, and he's not even 30 yet. He doesn't turn 30 until three more weeks. So it looks like he's not going to be a player you should lock up long-term. But at the same time, it's like $15 million a year. Is it even big enough to be called a bad contract? Or are we just thinking it's bad? Because to the Pirates, $15 million is a lot.
Yeah, I think that's where we got to maybe have a conversation with Mr. Reimer here and tell them, hey, if the Pirates spend money, we just need to let them spend money and not criticize it at all, because we need the Pirates.
We want to encourage them to keep spending money.
Yeah. We don't want to tell them that the largest contract they've ever spent is the worst contract ever, and it's going to be a terrible contract for them going down the line, because they'll take that as gospel, and then for the next 15 years, they'll be right back in the gutter, and they're coming into some of the best baseball when it comes to their pitching rotation that we've probably seen in a very long time, since like Garrett Cole and Tyler Glasnow. So unless they plan on trading Paul Skeens, which don't rule it out, sorry, Pirates fans, it's probably in the books at some point in time, because that's just their MO. But overall, no, all jokes aside, this is going to be seen as probably a bad contract when all said and done. You brought up really good points about a strikeout rate. I think that they were in a really weird spot when he was trying to push for a new contract, because I don't think they were getting the bites they wanted for the trade as well. So they were either at a point where they needed to spend or they needed to trade him. They didn't like their trades that they were getting. And as you mentioned, it's not a lot of money in the eyes of future value. $15 million a year for what should be your cornerstone player, you'd hope, at least he is right now, is nothing. I mean, what's Juan Soto getting paid again this year, 2025?
51 million? Yeah, 51 million, something like that. Yeah. His actual cash, when you factor in the signing bonus and everything, his actual cash is like $130 million this year. It's nuts.
Yeah, relievers are going to get paid $15 million this year in the free agent market.
Morton's getting $15 million a year at age 41. Justin Verlander's getting $15 million.
This is a Pirates argument. This isn't an MLB argument.
Valid. That's perfectly valid. The last one, speaking of having a bone to pick with Zachary Reimer here, Aaron Nola is on the list. And 34 years old in 2027, and he'll have 4 years and $98.3 million after that. But one, when you factor in how expensive pitching has gotten, it feels hard to say that Aaron Nola making roughly $25 million will be overpaid going down the stretch into the back half of his 30s. And then Zach makes the point. He says, since 2018, he's been third in pitches, like number of pitches thrown, and first in innings. And I pulled it up. He has 1,264 innings from 2018 through 2024. And I don't think he's even been on the injured list once, right? He broke 200 innings twice. He broke 192 more times and 180
one more time with four Cy Young finishes. Is the idea of Aaron Nola's eventually going to get hurt, is that enough to say this is a bad deal? Or is this just he's trying to find a pitcher to throw into this list when in reality, Aaron Nola has posted every season, and that in and of itself is a valuable skill, even if his ERA in that stretch has only been 3.64.
Inconceivable. I keep using that word, and I don't know what that means. No, honestly, Lindsay, in my mind, I got just one little statement to say about this one. This one's preposterous. And the reason I say that is because in 2027, when they say that this is going to be a bad contract, he's going to be in his age 34 season. I dug out some stats while you were talking.
Okay.
21 different pitchers have won the Cy Young age 34 and older. How can you think this is going to be a bad contract? And if you even want to go a step further, 17 players age 35 and older. So if it's in the middle of this age 34, 35 season,
jeez,
plenty of time for this guy to be just fine. I have nothing to worry about when it comes to Aaron Nola. No, thank you.
I'm going to go on the record and say I don't think Aaron Nola wins the Cy Young, but I do think he's probably one of the best qualified number two, number three pitchers in baseball. And I don't see a reason why this would be bad unless you're assuming a Mike Trout-esque run of consecutive bad injuries that knock him out of seasons. And I think with any pitcher, you can say that about any pitcher in baseball. There's not a single pitcher where you could say, oh, hey, that contract wouldn't be bad if even if he got hurt, because every pitcher is going to get hurt. As a Braves fan, we watch Spencer Strider, who has immaculate mechanics, just go down for a year, right? Every pitcher is going to get hurt. I don't think you could just use he's bound for an injury as an argument that the guy is overpaid or a bad contract. That's just kind of my feeling on this whole thing.
Chris Sale won the Cy Young this year, and he had injuries all time in Boston. Justin Verlander won the Cy Young coming off Tommy John surgery. And
that's the wildest thing. Old. He had the workload to win a Cy Young coming off of Tommy John. How often does that happen? All right, real quick.
I'm not worried about Aaron Nola.
Yeah. Real quick before we go, which of these 10 to you is the worst contract moving forward?
You know, I think I agree with you on the Trey Turner one. I think Trey Turner makes a lot of sense about being the potential worst contract moving forward because of the fact that his speed, his bat's going down. He had some issues already with his bat that needed a Netflix special. And then you're going to have to pay him for multiple years at second base. So I think when it's all said and done, Bogart's honorable mention for me, but I think it's Trey Turner.
Yeah, for me, I think it's Bogarts and Turner are the two guys. I'm kind of leaning towards Turner simply because Bogarts at least is still offensively kind of producing at the plate. I mean, he struggled some last year, but like he's still a decent hitter. Trey Turner was kind like what is it? Bogarts hit 264 last year, double digits on homers and steals. Turner batted 295, but he was bad until August. And his injury was a hamstring strain, which affects obviously the speed and everything and just can hasten the decline. So I definitely do think it's Turner's the worst. Bogarts is the second. Let us know what you think. If you're listening on audio, you can tweet at us. I'm at Crosby Baseball. He's at FirstPitch_MLB. You can leave a comment on YouTube if you're watching on YouTube. Either way, subscribe to the channel. Hit the notification bell, leave us a 5-star review. And until next time, this has been First Pitch.